This podcast is sponsored by Hercules Strong Guard Tires. Visit HerculesTiresCommercial.com to learn more.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. RedEyeRadioShow.com is where we stream our show live. You can get our app, download our app, and listen whenever you want, though. That's really cool. It's a cool service that we offer. Well, with the administration saying that COVID vaccine passports are not out of the question.
Right. They are not off the table.
Not off the table. Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver Antonio Brown has been suspended 3 games for violating the NFL COVID-19 protocols, the league announced Thursday. The league and players union found that Brown was among 3 players on Tampa Bay who misrepresented their vaccination status. A former personal chef of Brown's said earlier this month that the wide receiver had obtained a fake COVID-19 vaccination card over the summer. Also suspended for 3 games, take him to the Bills, were Buccaneers backup safety Mike Edwards, free agent wide receiver John Franklin III, who Tampa Bay waived in August. All 3 players accepted their discipline and will not appeal, according to the NFL.
But they will have to get the vaccine, right?
No.
They're just going to accept the discipline and not return?
In the NFL, you don't need to get the vaccine.
Okay, so their team didn't mandate it then?
No.
Okay.
The NFL
the story I read, yeah, the NFL made it sound like that Tampa Bay mandated it for the team, but they did not.
I don't believe they did. Now, all 3 players are now vaccinated, though, and admitted wrongdoing.
Okay.
But the NFL and the NFL players, but you got to get tested all the time. That's the whole thing with Cole Beasley. He never got vaccinated, but he can still play. But the problem is, if you don't get vaccinated, the COVID-19 protocol is different.
Right.
You have to stay out longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some teams have been complaining. I know that that the Bills had a player that's been out for 3 weeks in the COVID-19 protocol, and you've got, you know, fans that have to be vaccinated to go to the games.
Yeah.
Saying, wait a minute, this guy has been out for this long, it means he must not be vaccinated.
Right.
Unless he's been vaccinated and testing positive for 3 weeks. And so, and then this is coming up, and this seems to have gained some traction over the last couple of days, different entities talking about this. Nevada state workers and adult dependents who are covered under public employee benefits and remain unvaccinated will soon be hit with a surcharge of as much as $55 a month starting next July in an effort to alleviate COVID-19 testing costs, the Associated Press reported. Beginning in July of 2022, unvaccinated state employees and their dependents will have to pay a monthly fee as a result of Nevada's Public Employees Benefit Program Board voting in favor of a surcharge on Thursday, according to the news outlet. Weekly testing is mandated in Nevada workplaces and is estimated that for 2021 alone, over 6 million in COVID-19 claims will be filed by Nevada employees. Some organizations have imposed policies similar to the approved surcharge in an effort to compel employees to get the vaccine while underscoring how expensive it can be to remain unvaccinated within a community. Now, you know, insurance plans, as you know, we have known that, you know, we had an insurance plan that made it so you got a discount each and every year if you got you had to get a physical,
mm-hmm.
but then you had to abide by any rules and regulations that your doctor told you to live by.
Well, any like medicines that they put you on, you had to, that they ordered for you, your doctor ordered
right.
for you.
You had
like
to be
a cholesterol med or whatever.
Now, what if you were smoking and the doctor told you to stop smoking?
I don't know.
Yeah. I just wonder if this is going to open up a whole new frontier for insurance companies where it's going to be, because we now know that the virus, the administration admitted it yesterday by stating that if you come into this country, it doesn't matter. The rules are exactly the same whether you're vaccinated or not.
Right.
And so, you know, might this, by the time they enact this next July, might somebody protest it saying, wait a minute, you have just as much of a chance of passing it on, but they'll say, no, you have a greater chance of being sick. Well, what is that percentage? Well, if that's how the insurance company is going to go, then why can't insurance companies monitor what your diet is from now on or your weight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're overweight, that your insurance costs go up.
No, I think that's already in play. It just depends on where you get your insurance from. Your health has to, you know, is, and your age has a lot to do with
your
the premium you pay.
Yeah, that's true.
Your employer, the employer based is negotiated. We no longer have to get the annual physical as a requirement in order to qualify for a lower premium. I did get an email, though, that if you do get your annual physical, you're in a drawing. They're giving away some company swag. It's not the insurance company. It's our company. You know, if you get the annual physical, then, you know, we've got some drawings for some things we're giving away. But it's not the same as lowering the price of your premium every month.
I just wonder if it's going to be much more widespread, even employer-based, as employers try to cut their costs in the future and just say, look, why should we have to pay for your bad health choices?
No, I think that's a consideration, most definitely. Because you look at the entire pool and then you look at where, as you break down into the bean counting, what the cost was, what the insurance payout was for the entire pool of employees. And you find out, then you get an idea of what types of illnesses, even though it doesn't get into specifics for each employee, they can see a list of illnesses that were the biggest costs for the insurance companies. And that's part of the negotiation, as employers every year have to renegotiate for insurance plans. Thank goodness for competition. But I think insurance companies have always been clear about it. Now it's, as you point out, it could be an influence on employers as to how much of the premium they want to pay and what they want to put in terms of, or what they want to incentivize,
yeah,
which is the way that, that they would do it.
Because that's what Nevada's doing. It's basically the employer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's saying, wait a minute.
Yeah,
here.
The state, a state employee, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, because the employer is the state, mm-hmm. so it's the state. It's the state doing it. I just wonder what's going to happen because it's going to get more publicity. The South African study that, and this is what I wonder. Here it is. Preliminary study by South African scientists published Thursday suggests the Omicron variant is three times more likely to cause reinfections compared to Delta or Beta strains. The findings, based on data collected by the country's health system, provides the first evidence of Omicron's ability to evade immunity from prior infection. The paper was uploaded on a medical preprint server, has not yet been peer-reviewed. There were 35,670 suspected reinfections among 2.8 million individuals with positive tests until November 27th. The cases were considered reinfections if they tested positive 90 days apart. Recent reinfections have occurred in individuals who whose primary infections occurred across all three waves, with the most having their primary infection in the Delta wave, tweeted the director of the South African Center of Excellence Modeling and Analysis. They cautioned that the authors did not have information about the individual's vaccination status and therefore could not assess to what extent Omicron evades vaccine-induced immunity. The researchers plan to study this next.
All right.
So there's still a lot to be... But to me, it doesn't matter whether... to me, analyzing it, it doesn't matter whether for example, the administration, whether it's more deadly, they're focused on any type of spread.
Right. And it should be about the severity of the infections.
Yes.
And what we're seeing. And that's the question, because as now a number of medical experts from around the globe have pointed out, that if Omicron is more contagious, but it is not as deadly, it is not as dangerous, then that could be a good scenario ultimately if it remains to be the case, which means it moves through the population quicker. It helps to build the immunity further naturally, yet you have fewer people going to the hospital even. And if that remains the case, then that signals a quite, in fact, many doctors are saying, that could signal the end of the severe variants. And, you know, that's what everybody has their fingers crossed for.
And that's what Dr. Coetzee said.
Right.
That if this is extremely mild,
mm-hmm.
and she stated, if it's extremely mild, but it spreads a lot quicker,
mm-hmm.
well, then you actually want this to go through
yes.
the society.
Right. Yep.
Because you build up then... And if you look at the United States, we're back in September, and we've had 3 months more of vaccinations and 3 months more of people being infected. 92% of Americans, the United States estimates, this isn't me, it's the U.S., it's a government stating 92% over 3 months ago were either vaccinated or had the virus.
Right.
That's their estimate.
Right.
Must be 95% now.
Yeah.
So if everybody's vaccinated, if this thing is mild but moves quickly through, you and I talked about this earlier in the show, but it's worth mentioning again and again and again. What's the purpose of shutting down everything? What's the purpose of talking about lockdowns? Now, we still don't know about Omicron, but still we're fully a week into it.
Well, this is where Dr. Coetzee and others are saying, look, when we get 2 to 3 weeks down the road, we're going to know a lot more about the severity of how strong the virus is.
But how we monitor, because it's over 2 weeks now since we found out about it, and there are still no reports coming in from South Africa or any of the other places where there are major hospitalization problems at all. In fact, even in her last op-ed piece from 2 days ago, nobody had been hospitalized that she knew of.
Right.
So that's critically important, because remember, we started out where it was just hospitalizations. That's the only reason we did anything. It wasn't to stop the virus. Now it's to stop the spread of the virus completely is what they're talking about.
Right.
And you have in many states mandates that are stricter than they were in April of 2020.
And I expect them to get or at least remain that until the spring.
And so you asked your question, you and I both asked the question, how much patience does the public have when you throw those numbers at them?
Right.
When you actually tell the truth.
Mm-hmm. If it remains the case that it is a milder form, just more contagious, then you're the American public, at least, is not going to stand for more shutdowns. That's not going to be a political winner. It's not going to be an effective mode. You have how many businesses now saying, we're not going to enforce these mandates locally. We're not doing this. We're not going to be the cops. We're not going to shut down our business and have our employees as the enforcers.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Winter weather can wreak havoc on diesel fuel. Diesel fuel contains paraffin wax, which improves the fuel's viscosity and lubrication properties. The lower the temperature outside, the faster the paraffin wax in your fuel will gel up, which can clog your fuel filters and quickly put you out of service. Here's a cold weather consideration to keep you rolling as temperatures start to plunge. Check your water separators daily and drain any water buildup immediately. Diesel fuels have water suspended in the solution due to condensation that forms on the inside of a cold tank filled with warm fuel. Water in the fuel system can reduce engine performance and damage components like fuel pumps and injectors. To have your fuel system inspected or for more tips to keep you rolling this winter, stop into a TA Truck Service shop near you.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Maybe this is why Jen Psaki was saying that even the looters, the looting that is going on out there is all being blamed on COVID. So you can do this. San Jose has approved funding for license plate readers in an effort to address organized robberies in the city and throughout California in recent weeks. They will use federal COVID funds.
Oh. Okay.
For these license plate readers.
Uh-huh.
So if you blame everything on COVID, then you can use the funds.
Then you can use the funds.
Yeah. That's.
Well, I should go to the CDC website and see if one of the new, any of the manifestations of COVID in terms of symptoms. Maybe they need to list one of the symptoms is looting.
Well, I was thinking with all of the murders in the Chicago area, you saw, was it over 1,000 in Cook County, I think it was. Maybe the solution is not to go after the guns, but vaccinations.
Right. Well, they're clearly not going to go after the gangs in Chicago. Right.
You know, even saying that, I had a twinge because that's such a dumb thing. But we're not saying this because we're coming up with the ideas. This is just to show you the idiocy of the administration trying to blame everything on COVID.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that they're dismissing all of this as if it's not a real problem.
Yeah.
Well, these companies who are suffering as a result of it, and the employees that work there that have to, you know, wonder when the next, you know, group of people is going to come in, and if at some point it's going to become dangerous, what are they doing? They're shuttering their business. They're leaving. And then what do you have after that? Well, when you have a government that is saying it's not crime, it's due to COVID, that's what they're saying.
Right.
Well, tell me how that works. Well, they're just trying to feed their families. This is all going to be, you know, as the American public hashes all of this out, this is all going to be a part of the conversation, you know, going forward. You know, how far you want to go and ignore the crime in my city?
Well, I mean, the whole victim-oppressor relationship, the oppressor is now COVID.
Right, exactly.
Portions of this program not affecting the outcome have been edited or never actually happened. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye, if you would like to get in on the discussion. Our audio cut of the day, and I promised to play it, and we got other topics again. We will probably play this one for a while. It's just the idiocy that is coming out of the White House now. If you weren't paying attention, yesterday was the day, and even though you could see this coming, yesterday was the day that we finally reached the peak of the White House blaming everything on COVID. Everything
right. Is
on, any problem coming from the administration is on COVID. Now, they haven't, for example, said Afghanistan and what, you know, the president lying about what all of his top generals told him. They have not yet used the COVID excuse for that one, but I expect it will be coming.
I'm sure.
How, I don't know, but they find very innovative ways to throw out the blame. This was a question asked by Pete Ducey when it was made clear by Jen Psaki that the crime that we're having today is because of COVID.
And that's
right. This is part of, again, the narrative. Everything is COVID.
That's right.
Here's this.
So when a huge group of criminals organizes themselves and they want to go loot a store, a CVS, a Nordstrom, a Home Depot, until the shelves are clean, you think that's because of the pandemic?
I think a root cause in a lot of communities is the pandemic, yes. Go ahead.
There you have it. It's all because of COVID. The president out yesterday talking about inflation. It's COVID. It's not what we did. It's COVID. Oh, man, this COVID. And they get the cover, they think they get the cover because of Omicron. But nobody's buying that. Nobody is buying it. They're still trying to sell it.
I know. That's the thing.
She didn't even flinch.
No.
She didn't even flinch. It would take me a minute because I would have to stop laughing before I could answer the question. But she didn't even flinch. And so those are the talking points, she and her boss yesterday, both on the talking points. I will say this. This administration, their talking points, everybody's in line. When the talking points hit, you hear it across the board. Afghanistan, for the Americans who want to get out, that went on for days, building to an excuse that, well, some Americans don't want to leave. The talking points, I don't know that I've heard. Here's the exception, I think, is after the Keystone XL pipeline thing, is when you had three top officials, including Granholm, Energy Secretary, the first global warming czar, John Kerry, and Transportation Secretary Buttigieg, all say that, yeah, the best way, the most efficient way to transport oil is definitely by pipeline. I think that's the exception on major stories in recent months. Otherwise, they're talking points, and yesterday you saw it, and that's going to continue. Blame everything on COVID. Why? Well, because, you know, it's invisible, it's everywhere, and you'll just point at it and go, yep. That's it. And now she wants you to believe, the administration wants you to believe, that the rising crime is COVID. The rise in prices, it's COVID. Everything's COVID. Well, nothing we can do. The president will take the weekend off. And that's who they are. And she's very deliberate in her answer. She did not flinch.
No, she didn't.
She didn't even.
No.
Boom. She just laid it down.
Yep.
Wow. Wow.
That, you know, it's and the funny thing is, as you have all these liberal cities now, there was, what was the story yesterday? Was it Oakland? The Oakland mayor that came out and said, we can't be doing this defunding of the police. It's that in the cities themselves,
right,
they believe that the direct relation is that they've defunded the police.
Right.
That that the police departments have pulled back because of what happened in the summer of 2020. Remember what happened after the Baltimore riots? Remember they actually talked to cops? And cops said, it doesn't do us any good to go in anymore, because if we go in, and this is, remember, this is after the DA went after the cops.
Six of them.
And wrongly.
In the Freddie Gray case.
And absolutely wrongly did so, it was found out.
Right.
And the cops said, you know, this is our job, but we are not going to be proactive in the slightest, because if we're proactive, we take the chance of losing our career and lives.
Yeah.
Because the politicians won't back us even when we're right. And they will manipulate charges against us. So no, we're not going to be proactive. Well, if you don't have a proactive police department, then crime is going to go up. That has nothing to do with COVID.
Right.
Nothing to do with COVID.
Right.
And the fact is, you know, and we talk about that one of the biggest issues out there is crime.
Mm-hmm.
Is the American perception of crime.
Right.
Americans aren't stupid. And the White House is trying to sell, no, the problem increase in crime. Oh, even these, and because it was the way that he formed the question, Eric. It was the way, you know,
right.
Because we all know the Nordstrom, I think, was one where 80 cars pulled up at the same time.
Right.
And you and I talked about the fact that, you know, that the whole controversy of looting, and the one professor coming out and stating, well, it shouldn't be looting because looting gives a connotation that it's black people doing it. And I went, I never thought that. You must think that way.
Right, right.
You think that way. The bigotry is in you. I view looting most of the time, and I think most Americans do, is if there's a riot or something that is going on, looting ensues. But the fact is, if you are saying that what was going on here is more organized crime looting and added that to that, if you're saying don't use looting because of the racial element, well, then you're the one that views it that way.
Right.
But if you view it and say it's organized, it's more of an organized crime ring of looting and appears to be looting, that actually would be more accurate.
Right.
And so you're organizing it. People have cars already.
Mm-hmm.
They've got vehicles.
Right.
They're rich enough, or they're not poor enough where they don't have vehicles. The next thing, they all pull up in Ubers.
Come back out with everything they've stolen, and then they're just tapping the app on their phone, waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And license plate numbers all come back. They're all Uber drivers. All the Uber drivers are doing it.
Well,
we just gave people somebody to ride.
If they're willing to do that, why aren't they willing to steal a vehicle, though, or use fake plates at least?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So to sit there when it's organized crime, and they know.
Mm-hmm.
These communities have come in and said, hey, basically, you can rob us. You can rob our CVSs.
Yeah, right.
You can rob our stores. As long as you don't do it to a certain amount,
right,
it's okay. And the cops, we're really not going to prosecute you for that. It's really no big deal. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, we've defunded the police. There are less police out there. And the police, we've made it clear to them as city governments that if they do anything and are too proactive, that they may have to pay the penalty for it. So don't worry, they're not too proactive anymore. So go on in and have it. And so when they do it, oh, God, what's our excuse? COVID made them do it.
That's right.
And so when Ducey laid it out the way that he did, and I'm sure he laid it out that way, mm-hmm. going,
oh, yeah,
she's not going to be able to answer this. Yeah. How do you answer a question that if you say yes, it comes off as totally absurd? You do it with an incredible amount of arrogance and confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what she did.
That's what she did.
She knows it's a lie.
And she didn't flinch.
No, you don't flinch. You just come right back. And that's why you have the left saying, oh, she's really, really great, because she lies extremely confidently.
Yes.
And that is viewed as a good thing.
By the left.
Yeah. God, we don't want no kind of Clinton liar, because it was obvious he was lying.
Right.
We need confident. We need, it's not even, it's confident, arrogant, quick.
Mm-hmm.
Lies, if we're going to lie. Lie confidently. Lie loud and confidently.
Yeah, that's in, and that's the absurdity of it all, but that's who she works for. When has Biden ever been afraid to lie? Now, his lies are bizarre in nature at times.
Oh, the one about him and Israel the other day.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that one.
Well, there's a whole list of them. Man, you can make a movie just about his lies. You know, the just the weird ones. And it's not just us pointing it out. The liberal media has done that repeatedly.
Oh, by the way, you see
the bizarre list of lies that he's told for years.
I just thought about this. Did you hear about the liberal circular firing squad about Fauci and PETA?
Mm.
Here's a Fauci blasted by PETA for using monkeys in horrendous HIV experiments.
Mm-hmm.
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals blasted Fauci in a letter Thursday for allowing the National Institutes of Health to continue using monkeys in HIV and AIDS vaccination experiments.
Now he'll have to resign. You know, this is, but it's, I don't know how far it goes with PETA, but my question is, how many on the left give him any credibility at all? I mean, outside of the left media, because apparently the left media, did you notice that on Sunday morning with the Omicron being announced on Friday, last Sunday morning, he was on all three major networks. Did he make it over to Fox? It was NBC, ABC, and CBS. I'm not sure if he did Fox News Sunday. I don't know. But the, you know, that's the liberal media, they jumped to him. It's interesting watching them introduce him now, because it is, it's, to me, it sounds so tired and ridiculous. Let's turn now to Dr. Fauci, which it's, again, for me and many of us, he's just become a joke because he's a political hack. So, yeah, good luck, PETA.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. More analysis coming about Alec Baldwin claiming he didn't pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. You see John Schneider, Bo Duke, saying that's absolute BS.
That yeah.
Basically, that's... he had his finger, what, was moving it the other way,
mm-hmm.
and somehow the gun went off.
Yeah.
And John Schneider.
Somebody would need to explain that to me.
Calling total BS, and goes, that's not possible.
Right.
Not possible.
And the sheriff's department doesn't believe it either.
Yeah.
And so if you know, that's the case.
Why would he do that instead of saying, you know, it was an accident? Why? Because doesn't that, if you're an investigator, doesn't that make you more suspicious?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
But it also, as an investigator, puts more of a burden of proof than as if he said, You know, if he said, I pulled the trigger, but I thought it was, you know, a dummy round in it, then, you know, then some of the legal ramifications change. But
yes,
certainly the task at hand now for the investigation is different. And so I don't know. I don't know what now changes about the investigation and how they explain that away. The defense would have to, if it's, you know, in prosecution mode, the defense would have to present some kind of expert that would say, here's how it could go off without him pulling the trigger.
Yeah, they would, yeah.
And
maybe he's had that discussion with the lawyers, that they already know if there was any type of negligent homicide or negligent charge against him.
If he's talking to the media, doing an interview with Stephanopoulos, he's had lengthy conversations about this with lawyers.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Download our Red Eye Radio app and listen to our podcast, which is our show, and our show is our podcast, whenever you wish to. This week may be remembered as the week that was the beginning of Roe v. Wade being overturned. Mm. We will see come next summer. I was just reading Peggy Noonan's piece. Sometimes Peggy Noonan, when I see her on the Sunday morning news shows, can just be too wishy-washy for me.
Mm.
But sometimes I think she writes great.
Yeah.
And she wrote a piece on abortion and if Roe v. Wade is overturned, and just not going to read the entire thing, just a few paragraphs here. Foes of overturning make the argument that such a decision would make the court look hopelessly political. Justice Sotomayor made that charge during oral arguments. The court might not survive the stench of a ruling perceived as political. But the court is a political body, because it is a human body that inevitably reflects reigning political currents. Roe, too, reflected them. Justices wanted a thing to happen in the name of justice for women. And, of course, Roe was political. It wasn't based on what the Constitution said. It can be argued that it would increase our faith in our institutions to see that serious objections that lasted a half a century and would have lasted longer were finally heard. Here it is good to ask, why has abortion so roiled this country for a half a century? In other cases, when courts saw a new constitutional right or liberalized the social order in some way, the public acclimated to it. Brown versus the Board of Education was accepted over the years. Gay marriage was followed by more public acceptance. When the court took prayer out of public schools in 1962 and held that interracial couples had the right to marry in 1967, high public disapproval on those issues began to decline. But abortion was different. Opposition to Roe became more hostile after it was issued, writes Joshua Prager in his History of Roe v. Wade, The Family Roe. There are many reasons, but I think the biggest is that all those other rulings are about how to live. Roe involves death, inescapably and at its heart. We have spent 40 years looking at sonograms and carrying in our wallets or phones the black and white copy of the ultrasound that, when you first saw it, you thought, this is real. She's already got my feet. it's hard to ignore the meaning of that. She's there. It speaks well of America that Roe was a struggle that would not end. Those are some pretty spot-on observations. Not whether you agree with either of those cases or not, but how it played out.
Right.
And Roe v. Wade has never died. And it's not just because, for example, we spent a lot of time talking about, as we did yesterday, the legal issues. But remember, legal issues, so much of the time, legal issues can be based on power and control. We see that with politicians when they enact legislation, or power and control when courts, liberal courts especially, rule in a certain way. And part of the power sometimes is the court wanting and those judges wanting to have the power to legislate, which again is about power. Sometimes it is about good and evil. Sometimes it is about life and death, or what the society views as life and death. A lot of times it is the morality of good and evil. And that's why, and I think she hit it right on the button there, that's why Roe hasn't died. All those other issues there is, how should we live? Roe is about death.
Yeah. No, I think it's a great observation. And you've seen the polling change over the years. More and more Americans are for more restrictions on abortion.
Right. And the thing is, too, this was tried to play, you know, they tried to play it out yesterday. Or 2 days ago, and Bernie Sanders got burned on it big time.
Yeah.
Oh, and Whoopi was doing the same thing apparently yesterday,
yeah, okay.
Screaming about men wanting to control women's bodies, and, you know, men can't get pregnant, Bernie Sanders saying. Well, that's the problem with the Democratic Party. I mean, that's, you want an absolutely perfect example of the liberal circular firing squad was Bernie coming out, in essence, being a self-inflicted or a suicide a liberal circular firing squad, because he was saying, if men could get pregnant, we'd never be in this place right now. Well, the Democratic Party now believes that men can get pregnant.
Right.
So it's not just about women anymore.
Right.
It's about men and women.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use the thing that this is about that abortion now is about the patriarchal society. Plus, you see almost a 50-50 split on women on abortion.
Yeah. Right.
And they keep trying to play that it's a man thing, that it's a man thing. Well, now abortion, you're right. Now abortion used to criticize men don't have any say in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that you say that men can get pregnant, well, then apparently men do have a say in it now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what we mean is people that think women that believe they're men can get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we've been saying all along.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the reality, too, is that we have a very low birth rate, and it's not because of an increase in abortions. It's because, and it could be generational, it could be that more and more women today don't want to give men, they don't want to rely on men for birth control. That if they're going to have sexual relations with someone, they're going to take charge, and they're going to make sure that if they don't want to get pregnant, they're not going to get pregnant.
And as many studies have said, fewer young people are actually having sex.
Right. So combination of all the above here, but it is something that, and we've seen it. We've seen the numbers where we're at an extremely low birth rate. But that's not because of an increase in abortions.
Well, we're actually at a birth rate. This is something that we said. Trump, when he was arguing with Acosta, people forget about that Trump brought that up. The reason right now, one of the reasons that we are facing and will in the future face a labor shortage is because, as we have always stated before, women came into the workplace, and that was a really a one-time thing. between 1940 and really the 1990s,
right,
or 1940s until now, where now I believe more percentage of women work than actually men. Hmm. Or no, the majority of the workforce is women, I believe, right now.
Okay.
Just right. Slightly, I believe it is.
Okay.
And then you had the baby boom after World War II.
Yeah.
Those things right. came, if you think about it. And that helped fuel an economy because, you know, we talk about it, you know, what are commodities that you need to run any business, to run industry and business. And, yeah, you need natural resources.
Human resources.
And you need human resources in order to do it. If you don't have human resources, and that's why Trump even said, and people forget about this when they were trying, Trump is against all immigration. Trump said, I'm not against all immigration. I want immigration. We're going to need immigration in order to have the human capital available.
Right, because the economy is right. expanding. We're creating so many jobs. That's what happened in the moments before Acosta was kicked out that day.
So you take that. No more baby booms coming because of birth control.
Right.
And now because of smartphones, kids are going, sex or smartphones?
Yeah.
Let me go on to Instagram instead. you know, you think about that with contraceptions, there isn't another demographic that can come into the workforce like women did.
Right.
It's just not there.
Right.
You know, technology helped to drive that because of the technology. As we've, you know, I'm not a historian, but many historians will say that the modern conveniences of you know, washers and dryers and dishwashers is really what helped women get into the workforce. They had the time to do it. That those great inventions, and then World War II, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever historians say, they got in the workforce. Tens of millions of them got in the workforce in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Then the baby boom happened at the same time. You needed all of that human labor in order to drive the economy of the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, all the way to today.
Yeah.
If you right. didn't have that, those companies would have had a move.
Yeah.
And that's what Trump was talking about in the whole Jim Acosta blow up that happened. And everybody, even conservative media, you and I have talked about over the years, missed that part of the conversation of what Trump said at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're seeing it.
Oh, and we're gonna see that for quite some time.
And this is just the beginning of it.
Yeah, right. And so I, you know, again, I don't know where the how it will play out exactly with the Supreme Court, but it seems like everybody across the board believes that Roe v. Wade will likely be overturned next summer.
Isn't,
the question is, what then?
Isn't it amazing that we got to this point for all the passion? And if you've been a talk show host the last 30 years, really in talk radio, in its modern form, which is really the biggest form it's ever been in, began. Well, Rush got in a few months before I did, and that's what really started modern talk radio. At that point, everybody knows if you're a talk show host, the passion of the Roe v. Wade and abortion issues over the last 30 years.
Oh yeah,
I mean, just drives passion like you can't believe.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, because men are passionate to control women's bodies. No.
No.
Peggy Noonan had it. Death.
Yeah.
Life and death.
Well, and the fact that we do value life.
Yeah.
You know, for pro-lifers.
Right.
It is about valuing life, but it makes it it really does. You know, the observations are, I think, very clear here, but it makes it such a hot issue that I think even past next summer, even if they overturn Roe v. Wade, it's always going to be a huge issue here in the States.
Oh, it's not, you know, that's one thing that a lot of conservative writers saying to conservatives out there, this issue does not go away.
No.
It doesn't go away at all.
No.
In fact, it may be hotter at the local level now.
Yes,
than it's ever been before.
If it is left to the states to create their own abortion laws, then that will be a very hot issue. And it also won't be the end of court challenges.
No.
Every law that's created will be challenged.
Interesting, though, that we finally got to this point in this week, and you almost had no liberals out there at all stating that Roe v. Wade was solid constitutional law.
Yeah, they couldn't make that case.
That to me was, after doing this for such a long time in the passion, because what you always got, the first thing you got from pro-abortionists was, it's the law of the land, it's constitutional.
It's a right.
It's a right. It's a constitutional right.
Right.
You didn't really hear a lot of that. Maybe some people were still spouting that out. You saw signs saying it. But in academia and the political world, nobody was saying this was good, solid law. Nobody.
No.
Not even. They hardly touched that in the oral arguments, the liberals on the Supreme Court. It was simply, well, it was a precedent that set. I think it was Breyer who was implying that it doesn't matter whether it's bad law.
It's a precedent.
As long as it's precedent.
Right. And that was his argument with the Solicitor General of Mississippi. That was his back and forth, I would say.
But even if it's bad law, that's how, again, when you get to how the people in the legal profession actually looked at Roe v. Wade, they viewed it as bad law.
Right.
It was a bad decision for the Supreme Court to make.
Right.
And it's recognized from the left to the right.
No, it is, because at that point, as many have pointed out, including a handful of justices along the way, have pointed out that it basically makes the Supreme Court, turns them into the unofficial medical board of the country.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg recognized that.
That's right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Unfortunately, with a warm, dry November in the books for the vast majority of the country, the drought news is not particularly good.
With total drought coverage in the continental U.S. now at over 53% as of November 30th, according to USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey. That's up 5.6% from November 2nd.
This also extends a streak that has been going on since late 2000, where we have seen a large number of consecutive weeks with more than 40% U.S. drought coverage. In fact, we have now reached 62 weeks at that threshold, going all the way back to late September of 2020.
Rippey adds he expects that drought monitor era consecutive week record to be broken in January, as La Nina has established itself over the U.S.
What that has meant is that we have seen warmer and drier than normal conditions across roughly the southern two-thirds of the United States.
With much of the Southwest remaining warm and dry into early next year. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Hurley. I'm sorry, but I hadn't done it in a month.
Yeah.
Started reading headlines from the Babylon Bee.
Right.
I mean, just brutal. Ready for this one?
All right.
From German health minister, quote, "We must take large groups of unvaccinated and concentrate them into special camps."
Wow.
End of quote. Oh, just brutal this week. Let me look at the top headline. Jussie Smollett claims he cannot be tried because last night while walking home, he was murdered. And then a holiday one they have. Family's Christmas card photo clearly taken inside Bass Pro Shop.
That one may be based in reality.
Yes.
Here's your forecast.
A relatively tranquil weather pattern is expected to remain over the continental United States through the end of the work week, with dominant high pressure located across the southern half of the U.S. and a powerful jet stream remaining over the northern tier. As a result, well above average temperatures are forecast for nearly the entire country over the next few days. The warmest weather will occur today as highs soar into the 60s and 70s from the Great Plains all the way to the mid-Atlantic. Temperatures, however, should begin to cool slightly as a cold front enters the midsection of the nation. High wind warnings extend along the Rocky Mountain front this afternoon for wind gusts around 65 miles an hour. Little precipitation is forecast across the U.S. through the beginning of the weekend. However, with Arctic air surging behind that cold front, lake effect snow is likely to spread on Friday across the typical snow belts of upstate New York. Light snow is also possible for parts of far northern New England. And that's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm Bill Rakoff.
The Bonus Show.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. One of the things that we noticed this week was that the administration started looking at all the problems we have and start blaming them on COVID. Whether it's the lawlessness of society or inflation, there seems to be a determination that, look, the only way we can go is we need to get everybody out there. Everybody needs to be parroting the same talking points that everything going on in our society, the problem is the pandemic. And you made a great point. You said, are they trying to take advantage of the new variant? And that is a possibility. Will it work? I don't think so. But and I'll tell you why in just a moment, why I don't think it will work. But here's Jen Psaki being asked a question by Pete Ducey on the whole lawlessness question. And give an example whether this would be COVID-related.
So when a huge group of criminals organizes themselves and they want to go loot a store, a CVS, a Nordstrom, a Home Depot, until the shelves are clean, you think that's because of the pandemic?
I think a root cause in a lot of communities is the pandemic, yes. Go.
There you go.
And the president yesterday, and talking about the economy, blaming rising prices on COVID. It's all about COVID. Everything is because of COVID.
And I don't think it's going to work. I know they may, and I agree with you. I think they may be looking at this saying, look, with the new variant out there and the fact that we can talk about the fact that it is, because I honestly believe they view the whole pandemic and anything that they can get out of it as a political advantage for them, even if it isn't. And so I do believe that they look at it, and we've talked about the non-peer-reviewed study that believes that this new variant can be three times as transmissible as the Delta variant. But from what we have heard from doctors is they have not seen right now where this is anything but a mild form of the virus, to the point where Dr. Coetzee, from South Africa, who's the head of the South Africa Medical Association, as she said that if it is as mild as she has observed so far, it would actually be a good thing for this to spread through because it would actually create more immunity from severe illness and death. And you and I also look at the fact that the U.S. government back in September said 92% of Americans either have gotten the vaccination or have gotten COVID. Now, right. That was back in September. The Delta variant has moved through the population quite substantially, especially through the southern states, now is in the northern states, as expected and predicted by, I believe, the medical profession that is not playing politics out there, that this was expected to happen. And so if the American people understand that, okay, it spreads quicker because we've been here already. We've been here already with, okay, Delta variant is, remember when the Delta variant first came out, well, is it a worse variant? It wasn't a worse variant.
Right. It spread quicker.
Right. It spread. Yeah, exactly. So from what I know, I mean, I've not seen, I haven't seen anyone come out. Even my doctor said, I think it might be.
Mm-hmm.
My doctor said, he said, but I don't know. He said, but I think it might be. But it ended up being what, no, that wasn't really the case. And it just, it spread so quickly and infected so many people that more people ended up going into the hospital. But if you look at the spike that happened during Delta and even compare it to last January, the spike was not as great.
Right.
Which means that what? A lot of people may have had it, a cold, but were vaccinated and just said, okay, I don't have it, so they didn't get tested by it.
Mm-hmm.
The testing was way down
mm-hmm.
On it. There are a number of reasons, but as we know, I think the consensus would be it was more contagious. That's where we seem to be going here. Not that there's a consensus at all, because this isn't peer-reviewed, but the initial thing is it is more transmissible, but there's no observation yet that it's more deadly. In fact, they emphasize, the doctors that have seen this, that it is slightly mild symptoms is what they see. I just don't think the American public's going to go for lockdowns. You know,
and the
other thing that I noticed this week, and or was obvious, is that the administration is admitting by the travel ban, which states that not only must you be vaccinated, but you must have a test
mm-hmm.
if you're coming into this country, shows they know that it spreads no matter what.
Right.
If you have a virus that spreads, but because you have so much, either due to vaccination or people that have actually gotten the natural immunity because they've had it, where you're up to 95% of the population. And I saw another doctor in South Africa from the South Africa Medical Association stating that they believe it is more mild. And what was the other thing that he said? There's another thing that he said there. But if that is the consensus out there, Americans aren't going to sit there and accept going back to April or May of 2020. They're just not going to do it. They're not in that mode.
Right.
I mean, it really is bizarre to see what's going on and the intensity coming from the administration. Then every weekend, stadiums are full and people are cheering at ball games every night.
Right. And we're now in Christmas mode and the holiday season, you know, people are out and they're in, you know, at whatever celebration. That's not going to be reversed. And I think there is, at least to some extent, they realize politically they can't get away with it. I really wonder how fast, again, the OSHA mandate goes through the courts and where that comes out. You know, because if it's expedited, we might hear SCOTUS making a decision on it before June of next year.
Oh, by the way, earlier, a top South African scientist, Anne Gottberg, an expert at the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, forecast a surge in cases, but said authorities expected vaccines would still be effective against severe outcomes. If that's the case, that it's mild mm-hmm. and the vaccines protect the elderly
mm-hmm.
and the most vulnerable, who 99.9% of them have gotten a vaccine, well, then as a society, you've done just about as much as you can do.
Right.
If you're shutting down society or having vaccine passports in order to fly. By the way, I read somebody had an article, don't use passports because passports normalizes it. I think putting vaccine in front of passports is what doesn't normalize it.
Right. Right.
Passport's one thing. A vaccine passport means you need to have a vaccine. I think people understand.
Right, right.
That is viewed as a different type of passport, maybe a perverted form of a passport. But if all of those variables stay the same from what we see, I think it's going in the opposite direction of the lockdown, the mask mandates, everything else, that it just doesn't admit. And they know it. I think the Democrat, look, they know it, because when they go out and they don't believe the cameras are on, their masks are off.
Yes.
Biden got caught again this weekend. Pelosi got caught in the last couple of days not wearing the mask.
Right.
They don't believe what they're selling you.
Right. Well, and all the illustrations from the hearing at SCOTUS the other day, Sotomayor was the only one wearing a mask. And, you know, and she's not the only liberal justice. But it really gets down to, I think, this going back into the medical community and the decisions being made there. That if we do find that it is more contagious, but it is less dangerous, that it moves through a society much quicker, and it also helps to build immunity naturally. But the medical community is then at that point in charge of assessment, and it gets down to individual cases, right? Because this is what Coetzee was reporting, and a number of them in South Africa, saying that people were going to hospitals, showing up with symptoms. Still, she's saying she doesn't know she hasn't seen where any of them are being admitted and are experiencing very serious symptoms. And if that is the case, then it is going to be about, I mean, it's just like, you know, we get down to flu season. You get to an endemic stage where there might be a form of it always out there, but it's being monitored by the medical community. And politically, I think this is the most dangerous problem we have, is that if, and it would, you know, it just depends on how it's handled. Coetzee has written and has expressed multiple times in the week that since we've learned about the new variant, she has expressed the overreaction. Well, the medical community has to be the lead here, and not someone like Fauci, who is a bureaucrat. It has to be someone like Coetzee, who is on the ground level. It has to be the medical community, by and large, that is looking at it and monitoring, because if there is a more dangerous variant at some point, that information is going to be key, and it has to be accurate. If it were that Omicron were more dangerous, that out of the 100 patients, 80 of them were in serious condition, then you've got a real situation on your hands, and that is something that, again, is going to require the medical community to take the lead. So I think right now it is, you know, it's probably getting to that stage where people aren't listening, certainly not listening to the administration and bureaucrats when it comes to, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. We need to lock this down. Nothing is off the table. We assess our own risk as we have always done as a society. We leave the house every day, and we know there are certain risks we're taking by getting in the car, by certain behavior. Those risks are always there. The question is, we need to know exactly what those risks are, and the medical community is going to have to be in charge of monitoring all of this going forward.
When you have a government that continually lies to you, then why are you surprised when nobody trusts you?
Right.
And when you lie in the big things,
right,
as this president has done,
right,
Fauci has been caught lying.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sit there in their arrogance and wonder why the public doesn't believe what they say.
Right.
Well, you have a track record of lying.
Right.
And lying about huge things when you talk about Biden. Think about this. Any war that we've ever been in, has there ever been a single lie that has been as big as Biden stating that all the generals agreed with his decision?
I can't recall one.
Yeah. And so
he lied repeatedly and talked to the president, then president of Afghanistan, on the phone in July and wanted him to help carry that lie to the world.
Yep. So that's just one of multiple lies. But when you continue to lie day in and day out to the American people and then feign shock.
Yeah.
I can't believe these people don't believe what we say. We're telling them the truth and the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure you are.
Right.
Sorry. When you get caught lying to me about almost any other thing that you're doing, and then you're blaming me for not believing you.
Yeah.
866-90-RED-EYE.
The fuel and exhaust systems inside diesel engines work closely together. As a result, fuel and exhaust-related issues can be some of the most difficult to diagnose. A symptom in one system can often arise from a problem in the other. Here is a common fuel and exhaust issue that might not be what it first appears. Your equipment is emitting sooty exhaust. Thick black exhaust is a sign of a soot problem, which can often be traced back to an issue in the fuel system, a plugged fuel filter. Critical for keeping contaminants out of your engine, a properly working filter allows clean fuel to flow freely through. Fuel filters are prone to plugging when the fuel that has already passed through it fails to burn completely during combustion. This leftover fuel, now chemically damaged, will gradually plug the filter as it makes its way back into the fuel line for a second cycle. To help prevent sooty exhaust, not to mention decreased power resulting from restricted fuel flow, Cenex Premium Diesel contains aggressive detergents that clean your entire fuel system, including the filter.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Well, it's that time of the week where I ask you...
Yes, it is going to get worse.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, yes, it's going to get better next week.
No, it's going to get worse. Much worse.
Well, we're closer to Christmas.
Yeah, we are, but it's going to get worse.
All right.
I'm just telling you the truth.
Well, you were right about this week from last week,
yep,
so...
Yeah, and I'll continue to be right.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.